What's your mom?
A working mom.
And what did she write?
The working mom blueprint.
And what should they do?
Go
buy it
today. The Working Mom Blueprint is now available wherever books are sold. Go grab it for yourself, for a friend, for a sister, for a colleague, so we can help working moms, all moms, to thrive, not just survive on their motherhood journey. Welcome to the Modern Mommy Doc Podcast. I'm Dr. Whitney Caceres. I'm a full-time pediatrician and a full-time modern mom. I speak and write about equipping mamas to raise resilient, healthy children and to invest in their own social-emotional health along the way. Each week, we'll give you the practical tools you need to win at parenting without losing yourself.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us today. I am Dr. Whitney Caceres, for those of you who don't know me, though I think at this point, hopefully everyone who is in the Modern Mamas Club knows me. Today, I am joined by Katie Cesarini from Endurance Management Coaching, and we are going to talk about a really exciting part of the Centered Life Blueprint, which is actually figuring out what are the things that you care the most about in life. Where do you want to place your time, your energy, your focus? And we're going to talk about that in a broad sense today, but we're also going to talk about it as it pertains to your work life, because I think for moms and as professionals, a lot of us are so ambitious and have so many specific goals or have so many dreams, but it's hard to make them really concrete. And it's hard to manage all the inner voices that come in our head as we are making those goals. So I'm going to share my screen and just make sure that we're all on the same page. Okay, so I am going to have actually my friend Meg, who's helping us out. I think she's going to have to allow me to share my screen really quick so that way I can do it. And I'm going to share my screen. And while we're waiting for that, I'm going to just remind you that I am the author of two books. One is the Working Mom Blueprint, and one is the New Baby Blueprint. And that both of the books are really focused in on taking care of yourself as you are taking care of your children, that you are an individual person. And that we have this thing called, in Modern Mommy Doc, a you life. So I'm going to share my screen. There we go. Play it. Okay, perfect. So again, we're talking about the next part of Conflicted to Centered, how to find success in the workplace and at home. And these are the two books, if you're looking for them on Amazon. And this mission, again, to help you be a centered mama, which to me does not just mean that you kill it in the workplace, does not just mean that you kill it with your family, but that you actually retain your individual personhood, that you maintain your sense of self, and that actually you don't just maintain it, you put it at the very center of yourself, that you are a centered mama. And that that allows you to be at work, to be a mom and to still stay balanced. This is me with my oldest daughter, McKenna. You can see that she misspelled a few of the words here on this little board, but I thought it was so cute that I had to keep it because I just love that she gets this mission as well. And now I find her with our neighbors going around and trying to share it with them as well. So too cute. She's like on that entrepreneurial spirit as well. Okay. Those of you who know me and have heard me talk before have heard me talk about my story. And in my story, we have had like quite a go of it in my family. So we have had really a hard time with my first daughter. It's not pulling up with the pictures, but that's okay. We had a hard time with my first daughter. She was an amazingly beautiful baby who was awesome, who didn't have any difficulties with my pregnancy. And then when she was about 2 weeks old, really developed severe colic, had a really, really hard time with her. And before I'd had her, I'd been this like, you know, kind of like go-getter, committed person at my work. And I felt once I became a mom, like so many of you have, like I felt this push and pull. Like I had to lean into work and I had to really lean into my home life. And then that I found myself lost in the middle. And so that's why we developed this framework that I'm going to talk about today. Since it's not letting me advance it, I'm going to escape out of it. There you go. You can see the story right there. So that's her as a baby. That's her as a toddler when she started having a lot of tantrums and really pushed and pulled at my heartstrings while I was trying to be professional. And then on the left lower hand corner is me and my husband really struggling, having a hard time together to be happy in our marriage as a result of what was happening with this push and pull. And also my youngest daughter having a hard time and eventually decided, you know what, I'm going to lean in only when it makes sense for me and my family. I want to remind you guys too that if you're in this club, then you're going to be learning all about this mission with these live events, but then also we have so much to offer you within this platform. So we're doing the live events, but we also have forums that are specific by age and also by interests or by what's going on with your kids. And then we have our blog and our podcast you can access. And then the other thing that we have that I think is tremendously valuable to the people who are a part of this community is all of our on-demand videos. We have them on how to take care of a newborn and yourself. They're about 3 hours worth of content there, including all the information from the book. We have an entire section, about 3 hours of content on how to parent with another partner and how to come and approach this as a team. And then we have another program on how to navigate difficult emotions with kids and an entire self-care retreat. So make sure that you check that out as well, in addition to these live events. Okay, I'm going to try to go back to sharing now that I can be on this one. Okay, so this is the Centered Life Blueprint, and I'm just wanting to give you a reminder of it so that you have a framework as we're moving through it. We talked about how in life, there are all these things that you'll see here on the outside of our circle that try to kind of push in on us. We have all the tasks, all the responsibilities, all the chores, all the committees people ask us to do, all of the in-law requests to spend time with us and with our kids, all of the social obligations, the PTA requests, the clothes ordering, all of those things that are there in our life and that feel like little checkboxes on the to-do list that we can go through the day and get them all done. But if we spend all of our time on those tasks and responsibilities that don't matter the most to us, they can really feel like life is pretty meaningless. On the other hand, within this circle is what we call our centered vision. And those are the things that really bring us joy, help us to find meaning, that make life purposeful for us. And in our last session, you can go back to it if you weren't here with us last time, it's on demand within the club. We talked about how to develop this vision. We actually had an entire session with Karina from the Mindful Mamas Club, and she went through how for 20 minutes, how to envision your life and to think about a life that you might like or feel satisfied with in really, really broad terms. Today, what we want to do is break that down a bit into what are the five components of that broader vision? What does that vision actually mean for your life? And it's different for every single person. And before I get into sharing what my five components are, I wanted to remind you, our Centered Life Blueprint really is for every single person out there. So it's not just for the rich and famous. It's not for just the privileged. Understanding what is the path that I want to be on, that's for every single person. We know in pediatrics, right? I'm a pediatrician, that there are these things called ACEs, adverse childhood events, that we know can cause lots of stress and are predictors for mental health issues, for financial troubles, all the way down the line. And then we know that the antidote to ACEs is resilience. Right? That ability to bounce back or to thrive no matter what waves are coming and crashing against us. And one of the main components of resilience is control. So the idea of creating a pathway or a vision and some components of things that you want to be at the center of your life is about creating some agency and empowerment for us. Will it work out 100% every single day that every single goal and every single part of our vision will come to reality, you know, in 5 years, 10 years? No, this is not about manifesting. This is about laying a framework for where we want to place our value, our time, our attention. Okay, so these are my 5 points. And again, if you're with us before, I talked about this vision that I have all the time of I'm like on a balcony and I'm looking out over the ocean and there's cheap white Target curtains and I'm linked arms with other women and my kids are coming back and forth from me. And that those images and those pictures in my mind really represent for me a few key components of my life. And they include family connection, my kids being in that really healthy relationship where they're attuned with me, I have a relationship with them, but then also they can go and be on their own and explore the world. That I have health and wellness when I'm sitting there looking over that balcony, that I'm like sipping on coffee in the most comfortable ritualistic way, like I'm on a date with a friend, not in the way of like, oh my gosh, please let me slug this coffee because I've been up all night. That vision of the ocean out in being expansive is about travel and exploration. And in the past couple of years, it has not been about world travel, but definitely has been about new opportunities and being excited about new ventures. And then contribution, that's that linking arms with other women. And then finally, financial freedom. I know that in order to be at peace, if I am just buried in debt, which I was for a long time with my medical student loans, that there's no way that I could achieve all of these other pieces. Again, every single person has their own vision and their own center points. I really think within this framework for it to work, for you to make any movement in terms of your center points, you have to do two things. One, you have to address all the things outside the circle, which we will talk about in later sessions, because if all those things are cramping in on your circle, you have no bandwidth to be thinking about broader terms, what you really want. And then number two, that you have to pick a linchpin center point. You have to pick what is the one that if I address this, it's going to make all the other dominoes fall in my life. For me, with $250,000 of medical student debt and physical therapy student debt, that meant that I had to really key in on that. And I used SMART goals to do it. And you can too. So you'll pick your first center point, choose a first goal within that, and then break that down into mini goals, right? For me, when I had that huge insurmountable amount of debt, I had to think, what's the biggest thing I could do to attack this? For that, it was moving in with my parents for an entire year and renting out our house. That's what we chose to do to really hack down at that debt. And then we had other smaller goals within that. And we really tried to think through what are the barriers, what are the factors that we needed to consider. And then once we do one center point, then I start focusing on the next center point. And that's what I encourage every single person that I work with and coach to do, is to think about, okay, what's the number one thing that I need to address? And then once I have at least a handle on that, does not have to be perfectly solved, but I've at least started to address that. Now, what's the second thing that needs to be addressed in order for things to fall into place? And third and fourth and fifth. Because what I find in the coaching is that as we address one, automatically all the rest tend to rise up a bit. The rest tend to get a little bit better on their own. So when I address financial debt, insurmountable debt, well, that affects my mental health, right? If I am really stressed all the time about this money, I'm going to be losing sleep. I'm not going to have good physical health or mental health. If I am constantly thinking about debt and needing to rearrange money and pay Peter to pay Paul and all of these things with my money, I don't have the time or the bandwidth to actually focus on what my kids are saying. My connection with my kids is going to suffer. I'm not going to be able to have contribution to other people or to make time to mentor other people because I'm going to feel like a pretty big fraud as I'm trying to tell them what to do when I feel like I have this huge thing that I haven't addressed at all. So that's how the center point work. And what we're going to do this week is give you guys on social media, and we'll send it out in an email like we did last time we did the live event, a challenge. we want you guys to think about what might be your five center points for your entire life based off your centered vision. Again, go back and watch the last on-demand video if you can't remember what that's about. And what does that look like as a sketched out version of your life in 5-10 years? Remember, the goal is to think about, if in 5-10 years, I go to bed 90% of the time feeling satisfied, feeling purposeful, feeling intentional, what are the five components of my life that that would look like? Now, I know that for some of you, you're thinking, this is quite a lot, Dr. Whitney, to be thinking about and to create these five things on my own, and also to think about my entire life on my own. So that is why I've brought Ms. Katie here today, because what I wanted to do in this session is to bring it back to something that maybe feels a little bit more tangible, and that's every single day, which is our work. Because Katie and I are very, very aligned on this idea of understanding what's the bigger picture really drives what the pathway is towards success in the workplace and in your personal life. So I'm going to ask Katie some questions. I'm going to have her dig in a little bit into, if we were to go on like a micro view, Katie, and think about at work, how could we create, what are our top five goals really, right? Center points are just goals, or our top five areas of importance. How would someone go about doing that in a really practical way?
Yeah, love it. Well, so happy to be here. So thank you for including me on today's event. When I'm working with clients, and particularly this area of, and I work with a lot of moms that they're wanting more fulfillment, wanting to feel purpose for what they're doing. And our starting place is always two buckets. The first is values. Your just fundamental core beliefs, the things you hold most true. And some of them may end up on your, or I would venture to guess, on your centered life of, you may really value flexibility, or you may really value. And for me, that was actually one of mine that I didn't realize I had, and I was terrible at it. I didn't have enough of that value present. So really getting clear on what are the things that you hold most dear. One of the practical ways that you can do that, and actually if you can flip it around another way in that, listen to other people speak. So if someone is telling you about their weekend, for example, listen to what you noticed they got excited about or what they were frustrated by. Because those are values. So we speak in values all day long, but we're not always necessarily listening. So when you can just notice that you can do that very easily, listening to others, pause and reflect of when you tell a story, what were the important highlights that you spoke about? What were the things that went wrong and what's underneath it? And really getting clear and starting to write down what are the things that really, when you were making your decisions, these are your guiding posts. These are the things that you hold most dear. So practically start with values for sure.
I love that. And that was going to be my question was, well, what if someone doesn't realize what their values are? How can they dig into that? So I hear you saying about the listening to other people telling their stories, listening to themselves telling their stories. Are there also places where there are potentially like lists of values or quizzes of values, yeah, or other tools for those of us who are like type A, need a quiz to fill out?
For sure. I actually love to point people to Brené Brown in her book, Dare to Lead. I think there's, I can't recall how many pages, but there's at least one full page where you start to see things like responsibility, flexibility, autonomy, courage, adventure, culture, community, right? Those are some of the words that you're going to see on lists like that. And Brené Brown really encourages folks to narrow down to two core values. I struggle with that. So I tend to lean into kind of your top 3 to 5 of what really drives you and what's most important to you.
Yeah, I like that. And actually, I like the 3 to 5. I'm sure, I mean, Brene Brown's like a rock star, so we're never going to throw shade at Brene Brown here, right, ever. But yeah, because I think sometimes there's conflicting values, right? Like the conflicting value of I want autonomy, but I also want to be in community with people.
Exactly. And that's where, when you think about different elements of your life, that's where I can struggle really narrowing it down that, you know, in my home life, I want more partnership. In my work life, I want more independence. So recognizing that both of those can be true at the same time, and really just thinking through another question that you can ask yourself is, who am I at my best? And when you can answer that and say, at my best, I'm rested. Okay. So, you know, what does that tell me about something that I value, right? So that's another way that you can surface and get clear on what your values are to then drive career decisions as well.
I think that's wonderful. I love that.
You know how, like in high school, you could join different clubs depending on your interests or things people were into? I wasn't really that much of a club person when I was younger, but these days it feels like having a tribe of other working moms around me is so, so valuable. And it's hard to do in real life because we're all scattered and busy and have our separate lives. We have designed the Modern Mamas Club to be that club, that tribe, that support network for you. And we didn't want it just to be about what are the ways we can help you to be an awesome professional, or what are the ways we can help you to be an awesome mom, but also what are the ways we can help you to remember who you are as an individual person. Voila, welcome. The Modern Mamas Club is on the scene. It's a community of mamas to support you, 24 access to our video library, live events, workshops, hangouts, relatable mom rooms and discussions, and a resource library and recommendations from yours truly, Dr. Whitney. Go check it out at modernmommydoc.com.
Okay, so you said values is number one, and then what's number two?
My second bucket is strengths. And it has two sub-bullet points. So in navigating where you want to be and how to be more centered with your work, starting from a place of what are you good at? But the reason why I have these additional kind of sub-bullets, and yes, loads of strength finders that you can take, strengths assessments to really identify where, how you can navigate in the world and what you naturally are strong with. I like to then bring it back to what energizes you and what drains you, because something that you may be good at, so to use a work example of, I was really good at building reports for our customer success department. I hated doing it. So that's why it's important to notice of what are you good at, so your strengths, but then are those energy gains or are those energy drains? And how can you really evaluate the work on your plate, your future opportunities, and saying, okay, these are things that I, tasks, types of work, interactions that give me energy. How can I incrementally find more of that in my work? And then these are the things that drain me, and how can I ultimately reduce or eliminate them within my work?
There is so much depth there, because I'm thinking about just this idea of, as moms and as working moms in particular, we're trained to be pleasers, to be givers, to be martyrs, and that sometimes there are things that we give and give and give. And yes, we get accolades because we're amazing at it. I'm really good at doing lumbar punctures and I hate them. You know what I mean? Like, I never want to do a lumbar puncture again, but I was amazing at them in residency. And so I would get asked to do them over and over and over for our team. Yeah. That doesn't mean that I want to spend my time doing that. I think that this idea of like giving versus receiving, that what I hear you saying is that if you think about, is this strength something that actually allows me to receive energy versus just gives away to other people without me getting anything back, that ultimately that's not going to align with what's going to be the most fulfilling or purposeful for my life. And I think that's a huge mind shift, paradigm shift.
Yeah, absolutely.
For moms, right?
Yep. And just this notion of receiving back, exactly what you're saying, of receiving back energy, because we're all tired. I mean, I applaud any mom who can stay up past 9 p.m., frankly, right? And there are things of, you know, if you know that it drains you, why can't we find ways to reduce or eliminate it, right? And that goes to other life tasks too, right? Like, I hate grocery shopping. I no longer grocery shop. Instacart,
right?
Like, eliminate something draining. But with work, what's always interesting, when I work with clients, I will oftentimes then hear a follow-up, which is, well, no, I have to do that because no one else wants to. Or, yeah, it's draining, but who else can take it on? Here's the secret, though. If this is a conversation you start to have with yourself and about yourself, and then you start to have this conversation with the people that you work with, it is shocking. And for someone who's like, I hate data entry, it's draining, there are people who love it because that is their zen, like, right? So then you start to look at the people around you in your work setting and to do it as a team. Hey, everyone, I want to make sure that we're all really getting as much energy as we can from the work that we do. And let's notice what we don't jive with. And if we put it all into a pool in the middle, right, some of it's going to be draining for me, but energizing for you. And let's start to have that conversation.
And I think what you're talking about too is so gendered. Like, I think that this is also an opportunity for women to give themselves permission that they don't have to be the person that does the grunt work in the office that other people don't want to do. That if it's something that drains you, that this is the way that we kind of move culture forward, is to be really advocating for ourselves to say, I don't have to be the one that does that, even if no one else wants to do that.
Yep.
Just because I'm a working mom doesn't mean I need to prove myself and take on some extra task or committee or responsibility that's incredibly draining to me. That happens in meetings for me where they say, will someone do this? And I'm like holding my hand down to not volunteer. And part of that is because I feel like as a woman in work, and I know this is the case for so many other moms, that they feel obligated that in order to then sometimes leave for their child's dentist appointment or to come in a little bit late because they have something that happens with their kids, that they feel like they need to make up for it, as opposed to really looking at it in the way that you're describing, in this energy versus draining capacity.
Well, and I think what underlies a lot of that too, and I notice this with so many of my clients and myself sometimes as well, is we're operating under assumptions.
Right.
So we often don't even get to the stage of having this conversation, right? So we'll say, well, we just assume, oh, well, I don't want to do it. So I know no one else wants to do it. So I'm not going to put it out there. We're making an assumption. Whether that's true or not, we're stopped in our tracks of any action because of an assumption holding us back. So noticing when you have this, I need to take on this extra, you know, task or this later meeting to make up for going to a dentist appointment, that you're operating under the assumption that that's necessary.
Yeah.
But if we pause and just ask, or, you know, step into a courageous space to state it as a, this is a need, and trust that those around you know that you're doing your work and you're doing it well. Get out from the pressure of that assumption that you're assuming they think otherwise.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really important point. And I know the other piece that you talk about with this in terms of what are your values, what are your strengths, is also that inner voice that comes in.
Yeah. Yep.
That inner critic. Tell us about that, because I think that's huge. I think that's bigger than people realize.
It is. It's Yes. So to paraphrase Tara Moore, and for those of you who aren't familiar with her, she has an amazing book, particularly for women, on this topic called Playing Big. And you'll find her in New York Times and so on and so on. She has this concept of women don't have a confidence problem. Women have a self-doubt problem. And what that is we're constantly told that we need to be more confident when we approach something. We need to manage our relationship with our self-doubt. And what that self-doubt is, are things like, don't bother, you're going to fail, or no one's going to like this, or don't try because blah, blah, blah. And the challenge is, in that voice that you hear is really binary, right? Of like, fail, succeed,
right?
Be liked, be hated, right? It's pretty cruel. It can also, for high achievers, also sound a little bit different, which is, that wasn't enough. Or for perfectionists, oh, not good enough. You just need to edit it this 13 more times. Then it's ready for people to see. And just noticing that when you hear that critical voice, that's not you. That is a voice inside you, and rename it instead of, I was working with someone yesterday, I don't have the sales skills to blah, blah, blah. Reframe that to, my inner critic is telling me I don't have the sales skills. And by just noticing it and naming it, your rational self comes forward, and your rational self might sound like something of, I don't have a ton of sales experience, but here's where I want to get curious, and here's what I can still learn.
Yeah. You're making it so that it's not you. It doesn't belong to your identity. It's something separate that then you can talk to as a separate person. People can see my hands now, but to like push it away. I'm pushing away the haters. I just did a Peloton Usher dance cardio session.
I did that class last week.
Yeah, it was amazing, right? It was so good. And especially, spoiler alert, he comes on at the end. That was right. The best part. But when I did the like buy haters move, that's what I'm imagining. Like you can like buy haters it a little bit more because it's not within you, because it's outside of you.
Exactly. Exactly. And there is a tactic to almost of treat it with, a sense of humor, right? Of like, I see you showing up. I see you came to the party. Okay. Mm-hmm. I got this. Mm-hmm. And noticing it. But the reason why this is such an important piece to name when you're talking about first vision or values and then strengths is that you start to have this, now that I recognize that I need independence and I need flexibility,
yeah,
you can't unknow that. So that fire gets lit. And then you start to realize, I'm really good at these things and I could make a go at da da da. And then your inner critic, but you got bills to pay.
Right.
No, you've been here too long. You couldn't possibly step out of the job market.
Right. Yeah.
Just that self-critical voice.
I like to that being able to see your strengths as almost needs, like validates it as, this is the thing that I need. I need flexibility to be the most successful version of myself. I need autonomy to be the most successful version of myself. You know, when I think about the linking arms with other women in my centered vision, I link arms technically every single day in my office, right? Like I'm talking with parents every single day. I'm in community with them and trying to help them. But I knew that because one of my strengths is that ability to be autonomous and to have something different, that I needed it to be like, it's outside on a beach, not in an office sitting down and with a stethoscope on, right? Yep. But it's a bit different. And so I think identifying it as, this need is the thing that drives me. This is the thing that's going to make it so it's the most successful, makes it less about, it's kind of this like extra sprinkle on top that would be nice. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But instead, like, if I really want to succeed in this part, this is what I'm going to have to create.
Yeah. And I think what I also hear you speaking to is a shift happens where you now are leaving motivation land and you're entering into purpose land.
Yes.
And when you have a purpose, that gets you through the hard stuff.
Yeah.
Right. Of like, yeah, you're going to stumble. Yes. You're going to learn new things. Yes. There are going to be setbacks. Yes. Right. Assume all of that. And motivation will be fleeting when you have a setback. But yep. when you then say, no, my purpose is I need work that enables me to, and this was for me, I need work that allows me to be the mom that is there for pickup and drop off. Mm-hmm. And with a huge caveat on that, which is, and I don't sign back on after that, my yes. day is done. Yep. So that is my purpose. And that is what I work toward. So when I struggle or when it's really hard, I pause and say, well, but this is why I'm doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. Transition. It allows you to get through those moments that are not so fun on your centered life journey, right? Because just because we put it out there into the world, I think that's the thing that is about the difference between this and manifesting, right? Is that it's about like the need that you have drives your purpose, mm-hmm. as opposed to it being some tangible physical thing that you say that you're going to achieve, mm-hmm. right? Because anybody can put out into the world, this is my purpose. Like yeah. that has nothing to do with the world bestows upon you billions of dollars, yeah. You know, or a Cadillac car that you want, that everyone's able to have that. Mm-hmm. Well, I have loved this conversation yeah. and you guys, I hope you guys are, I was writing down the Brené Brown reference and the Tara Moore reference.
Playing big. Highly yes. recommend.
Okay, we will put those into the comments under this event. Yep, we'll link them. And then we'll also put the graphic of the Centered Life Blueprint and also the graphic of the center points. And then we're going to do our challenge as of the 27th. If you guys share under this thread what your center points are, super easy, right? Like go back, listen to the centered vision talk if you need to do that. Think about what we've talked about today with Katie. And then by the 27th, we'll give you some reminders on social and within the club, put on there. Then you will be entered to win a rifle paper gift card, $25. You can spend it on an organizer or cute button or whatever you want on there. I'm a huge fan of their lined journals. I use that to jot down all of my little like brain pops that come into my mind. Last time we did an Athleta gift card. So every time you guys come to these events, you're entered to win and you don't have to be present. So if you're watching this on demand and you do it by the 27th, then that's totally fine too. And we also within the resource center will have links to Katie's work, to endurance management coaching. If any of you are interested in going further with her, because of course we just scratched the surface today on what she does. I have worked with her on a couple of other projects and I know that she is amazing and that she'd be a great resource for all of our working moms out there. So thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you. It was fantastic.
Okay. Bye you guys.
Bye-bye.
Hey mama, if you want more of the Modern Mommy Doc podcast, make sure that you click subscribe so you don't miss any episodes. We'd also be so honored if you shared with your friends and on social media with the hashtag Modern Mommy Doc. If you share about something that inspired you or that you learned from the podcast, we'll be sure to share it on our social media as well. Thanks for listening.